Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Six little words. That's all a classroom teacher needs to say to get a mixed reaction from the class. And if you are doing online learning right now, you probably won't hear them. Those words are, this will be a group project.
Ugh.
Ugh. I couldn't stand group projects in school because they all turned out the same way. Some of the kids worked hard because they didn't want the group project grade to badly affect their overall grade. That was me. Then there were the slackers, who counted on the hard-working kids to do all the work. That way, they didn't have to do anything, and they still got the A. Because, you know, it's a group grade.
Ugh.
Ugh. Well, I remember one group project in particular. I was in sixth grade, and Shelby was in my group. Now, I don't remember what the project was about, but I remember being a little bit traumatized that I had to work with him. He was the class bully, and I was his target on more than one occasion. So I don't know if the teacher wanted us to work things out, or if she didn't know he picked on me, or what, but I did not want to work with him. I did not want him to benefit from all of my hard work. Today's Gospel reading reminds me a lot about group projects. Here we have the hard-working ones who are hired first, the middle-of-the-day hires, who basically just fade into the background in the story, and then the slackers who show up at the last minute. And everyone gets paid a whole day's wage. That doesn't seem fair, does it? If everyone gets the same pay, then what's the motivation to work hard? Why put in all the effort when the Shelbys of the world get the same grade that you do? Actually, that question of why should we work hard is a good one to ask of this parable. And I can imagine the first hired and the last hired both asking it. So let's start with the first hired. They got paid the daily wage, which is what they agreed to. But when they see the others getting paid the same amount, they think they deserve more. But of course, that wasn't the case. When the landowner asks them, "Are you envious because I am generous?" I bet their response was, yeah. It's not fair that the class bully, who didn't do much, gets the same grade as everyone else who has borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. We totally get that. We've all been there. So after the first hired get paid, I bet they thought, well, if everyone gets the same thing, then what's the motivation for us to work hard? Tomorrow, why don't we just go off, do whatever we want for most of the day, then show up in the marketplace at 5, get hired for an hour, and still get an entire day's wage. Let's have someone else do all the work for us for a change. Rather than being the 20% of the people who do 80% of the work, let's be the 80% of the people who do 20% of the work. That is a real temptation that many Christians give into today. Sometimes it goes like this. If God gives love and grace and mercy to everyone, then what's the point of continuing to work hard? Why don't we just slack off and not contribute much to society? God'll love us anyway. Or sometimes it's like, well, why should I volunteer when someone else can do it? Yes, it's true that our works do not earn us salvation. but we're also not to take advantage of God's love for us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous German theologian, made a clear difference between cheap grace and costly grace. He said that cheap grace is grace without the cross, without repentance, without discipleship, which really isn't grace at all. Cheap grace is basically us thinking that we can do whatever we want or not do whatever we don't want because God is still going to love us anyway. Being one of the first hired with a sense of cheap grace means that you not only think you deserve more, but you're also jealous of the slackers who thought to work the system before you had thought of it. Now let's consider things from the view of the last hired. Although we aren't told their reaction, they were probably thrilled at getting an entire day's wage for an hour's worth of work. But then again, the question comes up, if everyone gets the same thing, then what's the motivation to work hard? These guys probably looked down their noses at the first hired. They probably thought, those poor suckers. They worked all day long and they got the same thing as us. Why should we work hard like they did and when we still get paid the same? Let's just do the minimum amount of work required for the maximum amount of benefit. Sometimes Christians today think this way too. They wonder, what's the minimum I have to do in order to be considered a Christian? What's the least amount of work I have to do to get a whole day's pay? Do I have to say some particular prayer? Do I have to pray before every meal? Do I have to read the Bible every day? Do I have to attend worship every week? Or now, with worship being online here, do I even have to change out of my PJs before I watch the service? Or do I have to be paying attention to the video the entire time? Or can I just have it playing in the background while I do something else? No one's going to know if I'm not actually saying the responses or singing. I can see Pastor, but he can't see me. Some Christians today are like Shelby, thinking that they will do only the minimum amount required of them, when really all they want is just the benefits from those who do the work. Maybe they think, oh, I'm too lazy, or I'm too busy, or I'm too old, or I have different priorities. I don't want to put in all the time and effort that they need of me. I'll let the proverbial someone else do it. If we're all treated the same, then why should I work hard when the minimum still gets me a passing grade? These are two temptations for many modern-day Christians. First, give up the hard work because you think it doesn't really matter. Or second, don't work hard at all in the first place because you can just let someone else do it and you'll still reap the benefits. In either case, both groups don't do the hard work of being a disciple. They're just trying to pass it off to someone else. But there is no one else left. So then, where's the good news here? Where is the motivation for us to work hard and be a disciple? Well, let's look at the middle of the parable again. When the landowner goes into the marketplace for the last time, he finds the workers and says to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." Notice that the text does not say that these guys were lazy. It does not say they weren't motivated. It does not say that they didn't want to work hard. It simply says that no one has hired them yet. Go back to thinking about school. This is like being picked last for the kickball team at recess. I think we've all been there, too. You know the feeling of being overlooked, of being passed over, of not being wanted. Maybe you were seen as not strong enough, or not smart enough, or not pretty enough, or not popular enough. Even when we're older, we face the same thing. Think about being turned down for a date, or rejected at a job interview. No one picked you. That does not mean that you're lazy or unmotivated or lack the necessary skills. It simply means that no one chose you. You were seen as the bottom of the barrel, and that hurts. Each time someone rejects you, it feels like a part of your self-worth and your dignity dies. That's what this group at 5 o'clock told the landowner. No one has chosen us. But then the landowner tells them, you also go into the vineyard. Now, I don't think he hired them just because they were all that was left, and he needed some more warm bodies to fill his position. No, I think he hired them because he wanted everyone to be in his field. He saw that they were important and worthwhile and should be treated as such. He did not pass them over. He still chose them, even when no one else did. Right? We've all heard before that Jesus chooses us. But I want you to take a moment and just think about that. Jesus has chosen you. You who are treated as expendable. You who are not the most popular or most beautiful or most educated or most whatever. Jesus chooses you because he sees that you are worthwhile and valuable. Jesus gives you dignity and respect. There is no popularity contest when it comes to Jesus. There is only grace. And when we see how much we need that grace, then it becomes a wonderful gift. A gift that motivates us to work hard as a sign of thankfulness. For example, I remember another group project from school, but this one I actually liked. Not only because Shelby wasn't there, but because I was chosen to work on it. This wasn't some random classroom assignment. This was a mural for the entire school. When I was in junior high, the art teacher was responsible for leading a group of students who would paint a giant mural about that year. The mural would then hang in the school cafeteria. And everyone had seen the other murals from previous years, and they were amazingly good. Well, even though I enjoyed art, I never thought I would get to work on our class mural. But then the art teacher invited me to do it. I was so grateful for being chosen that I wanted to work hard and do a good job. I even remember what I chose to paint on the mural. Because it was winter of 1994, I painted the ski jumper who lit the Olympic torch in Lillehammer, Norway. I worked hard on my little corner of the mural because I was grateful for being chosen. So why do we work hard? Because God has chosen us, even when others don't. We don't work hard to earn God's love or favor. And we also don't let others do the hard work for us. We celebrate that in the eyes of God, we are wonderful and important and have a good role to play. As Martin Luther once said, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. Each of us has been chosen. And you can't pass it off to, quote, someone else. No matter who we are, or how old we are, or what gifts we have, God has chosen us. God has chosen you. Therefore, as a sign of thanks, we work hard and do what God has called us to do, regardless of when we got hired. Each of us does our little part in our little corner of the mural, our little corner of the world, because all of us matter to God. And when that happens, that group project is pretty amazing. And so in the name of the one who calls us all to serve, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.